The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
New series that starts on RT Television tonight at 7:30. RT One, Now You See Me, looks at the plight of cyclists. And I say the plight because it is dangerous out there for cyclists. And I know there's going to be loads of you motorists immediately texting in to complain. But you know what? In a collision between a car and a bicycle, we know who comes off worst. Okay, Simon Delaney and Blanid Tracy are our hosts. Blanid, you got to travel all around Europe, I believe, looking at how they do it correctly.
Yes, I did. Yeah, so tonight I travel off to Copenhagen, which is incredible. It's a really insightful place to go to because they did it right. They've got segregated bike lanes all over the city, and they've got their own traffic lights. The laws are enforced, which is actually a really important thing because, you know, you can have the rules of the road, but unless the laws are being enforced, no one's going to follow those rules. Mm-hmm. It's incredible seeing everybody kind of working harmoniously together, basically, because the cyclists and the motorists never connect, really.
That's the
separate
key.
Roads.
I mean,
yeah, separate paths.
How do they keep them apart? I see today Oslo has announced that it is going city centre car-free.
Wow.
From the end of the year to make sure it's all priority given to bicycles. Mm. Now, in Copenhagen, how do they actually manage to keep the cyclists and the drivers apart?
Well, it's to do with the infrastructure. So in the 70s, there was an oil crisis and the public kind of, they protested and they wanted to take back the city and take it back. They wanted to use cycling as a means of transport for everybody. Before that, it was cars like the way we are right now in Ireland. So they built the proper infrastructure. So they've got segregated, separated tracks from cars. So here we obviously have the line painted on the road.
How do they properly separate? Are there actually...
It's lifted up. It's a footpath, basically a separate path. So it's higher than the road. So they never share the same road.
How do they have enough space? Because isn't one of the problems with Dublin in particular, I think mm-hmm. this would apply to Cork, Limerick and Galway as well, mm-hmm. as old cities with rather mm-hmm. narrow streets and roads,
yeah.
that there's barely enough room as it is mm-hmm. for buses and cars on them, that if you have a separate cycle lane, maybe this is your thing, Simon,
yeah,
well, is
it? That's where the show comes in, because we talk to people who use the roads professionally. As cyclists, motorbike couriers, push bike couriers, and one push bike courier said something that hit home with me. I asked him that very question: why isn't it working? He said it's the worst city in the world to cycle in. He cycled all over the world.
That's Dublin.
Yeah, he said it's a Victorian city. It's not built for cars. You know,
let alone cars, bicycles,
buses,
segregated lanes,
trams, mm-hmm. motorbikes, cyclists, and pedestrians. The thing with this program is that we're not banging the drum for cyclists. Or for drivers, or for pedestrians. The message that comes across in the show is that it's a shared environment. We're all using the roads together. The drivers don't own the roads, no more than cyclists own the roads.
A lot of them would be texting and saying they pay motor tax, so they have the rights to the roads. Cyclists don't pay.
They don't have the rights to the roads because they pay car tax. I'm a motorist. I pay my car tax. I don't own a pavement out in the city. Do you?
No,
but it's worse for the environment as well, though.
Yeah.
The pollution levels are getting worse and worse and worse. If you're cycling, it's better for your health, it's better for the environment. And more often than not, you get somewhere quicker by cycling. But Seville is a perfect example because 12 years ago, there was no cycling infrastructure there. We travelled to Seville and they had a change in local government and they said, you know what, let's put down the tracks. And it was almost like the smoking ban in Ireland.
But where did they get the space to do it? Did they just
put cars
off the roads, or did they knock down houses to make
room? They took away some parking spaces, they took some space away from the roads because basically, think of how many bikes can take up the space of a car. Mm-hmm. So many more people are going to be able to travel if you take away, you know, just a few parking spaces. So in Dublin in particular, actually, some of the paths are actually quite wide. And you'll notice that now when you start walking around, you'll see, like going down Georgia Street, that there's a really wide footpath there. And you could actually fit in a cycle track on the side. It's interesting when you start looking at it from a cyclist point of view.
I suppose also segregated from the pedestrians,
yes.
as well as segregating it from the motorists,
yes.
because I know an awful lot of, it drives me nuts when I used to cycle a lot around the Phoenix Park, mm-hmm. the amount of people who think that the cycle lane is actually a pedestrian walkway.
Yeah.
And
it's
that becomes dangerous.
It does indeed. But it's interesting in Seville because 12 years ago they didn't have any infrastructure at all and now they do. And it's incredible and it absolutely works. There was protests when all the building and the construction was happening, but now that it's in place, everybody uses it. And it works.
Simon, you took to the bike as well, didn't you? First time in a while, I believe.
I hadn't been on a bike since, let's see, what year is it now? It would have been 20 years probably, because I live out in the suburbs.
That's your excuse.
I took the, well, practically doesn't make sense for me to cycle to work.
Okay.
Because it would take me, at the bones, 3 hours to get in from where I live.
All right.
So what I did was I put the car away for a week, got on the bike to see if I could go to work. But it resulted in me having to get a train to town, yada yada. But I cycled around town for a week, frightened the life out of me.
I can imagine so.
But what it did was it gave me a perspective that I hadn't, you know, I hadn't realised before. I was seeing the roads from a cyclist's point of view. And what it's done for me is it's made me as a driver go, well, hang on, he needs another foot there. I can't just go past this guy. Just take a beat. The point is, and I go back to it, and I said it earlier on today, is it's a shared environment. Not just with cyclists and not just with cars. There's pedestrians out there as well. There's motorbike users as well. We have to get over the fact that none of us own the roads, but we all have to use them. And we look at things like the safety in cars. Has the safety improved in terms of collisions with bikes, collisions with cyclists? We look at HGV drivers and they're dealing with blind spots when it comes to trucks. I mean, I have a friend of mine who's...
It's the worst thing is that when a cyclist gets crushed by a HGV truck turning one way or the other.
It's incredible.
It's dreadful. It's horrific.
I have a friend of mine whose father lost his life in that very scenario. And when I was cycling around Dublin City, I found, I don't know whether you found this planet, but dealing with things like manhole covers and the Lewis tracks, like in a car, you just skip over them. But if they're wet and you hit it on a bike, you're out under something.
I'd say over 1,000 cyclists every year need hospital treatment as a result of injuries incurred while cycling.
And
that's 15, a phenomenal number.
15 cyclists on average die every single year on the roads and 35 pedestrians. So that number is far too high. When you think of the size of our country and the amount of people that are here, there's only, what is it, like 5 million of us? So, I mean, there shouldn't be anybody dying on the roads. And there's another interesting fact as well. Bank of America and Merrill Lynch report, they named Dublin as the slowest moving modern city in the world.
That's right. We covered that last week on the
program. Which is just incredible. Yeah. So you're actually, you know, you're moving at a speed of 7.5 to 5.5 kilometres per hour. Oh, that's just a little bit faster than walking speed.
Yours is a four-part series, is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Is it the political will, do you think, when people see this stuff and they see all the solutions that happen in other countries, and I think the politicians are aware, is there really going to be the will to close more streets around Dublin and in Cork and in Galway to cars to give greater space to bicycles?
Well, there's no other way you're going to lower those statistics unless you change it.
Yeah.
Whether this programme creates the will, I don't know, but there has to be a will, a collective will, because the defence from the politicians and the government will always be, well, that'll cost money, we don't have it. You'll have to find it.
That's
otherwise, those statistics are going to be the same, if not higher next year.
There was also the Institute of International and European Affairs. They've estimated that Ireland may have to pay fines between 3 and 6 billion if they don't meet the European emissions targets by 2030. So why not invest some of that money into infrastructure, reduce the pollution in the air? I mean, it's a little bit of a no-brainer. Also, it's safer, it's healthier. It would make it safer and healthier.
Lotta Tracy and Simon Delaney are the co-hosts of Now You See Me, which is on RTE1 at 7:30 this evening. Thank you very much, both of you, for joining us.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.